Hi folks, this is Bart from BartBush.ie, back again for the fourth part of my terminal intro here on the Typical Mac User Podcast. Those of you paying close attention might have noticed the last time round that I had promised to do three commands, but in the end kept it down to two. Well, the reason for that is that the third command I'd hoped to cover is actually quite large and quite complex, so I've decided to give it its own dedicated episode. So, here we go. What I'm going to talk about today is the ls command, which is going to lead us into a whole other conversation which we're not going to even possibly get finished today, which is Unix file permissions and how you modify them. But for now, we're just going to look at the ls command and what it can do. We've already seen this command. It simply lists the content of a folder. So ls return, and you'll see the content of the current folder. Well, it can do a lot more than that. Simplest next step was to pass it an argument of the folder you'd like to see the content of. So ls space slash users with a capital U slash shared with a capital S will show you the content of the slash user slash shared folder. But the big interesting stuff happens when you pass it the argument minus L, which gives you a long listing or a detailed listing of the details of all the files in the folder you're looking at. And really, there's a lot of detail in these listings, so we'll start there. So go into any folder of your choice in your terminal and type ls minus L. Rather annoyingly, ls doesn't put headers at the top of the various columns it prints out, so it's up to you to sort of remember what they mean, and in general that's easy enough to do. So let's start at the far left column and go through what we have. The first column consists of 10 characters, or 11 sometimes, and these make up the Unix file permission mask, and we'll talk about that in more detail in a moment. But for now, consider that to be the permissions information on the file. The next column is one we're going to ignore, in case you care. It means the amount of links to a file. I'm not going to get into what that means, because that's far too complex. The next column over is the owner of the file. The next column over is the group that the file belongs to. The next column over is the number of bytes in the file, and there's an easier way to display that as well, which I'll come back to in a moment. And then finally, we have the last modified date and time of the file, followed by the actual name of the file at the very end. Wanting to know the size of a file is not an unreasonable thing, or indeed something you're going to do infrequently. However, I don't know about you, but I certainly don't count files in terms of bytes. So is there a way to make ls make its output a little bit more human? Well, as it happens, there is. It's the minus h flag, which stands for human readable file sizes. So if you do ls minus lh, you'll get your long listing, but with human readable sizes. So let's do that. Now when you look at the size column, you'll see that it is a number followed by a letter, which will be either b for bytes, k for kilobytes, m for megabytes, or g for gigabytes if you have particularly large files. If I'm interested in file sizes, I always use the minus h option because I really couldn't be bothered converting bytes to kilobytes to megabytes to gigabytes, etc. Far too time consuming and head wrecking. Okay, now let's go back to those Unix file permissions. This is where things get a little bit complicated, and this is something where we're going to end up spilling over into next week as well. Okay, so within the Unix file system, there's three levels at which security permissions for a file are dealt with. The first level is the user level, so every file has one owner, and that one owner has a set of permissions assigned to them. The next level is the group level. Every file belongs to one group, and that group gets a level of permissions. And then finally, there's the world permissions, or the everyone else permissions. So those three groups of permissions, each of those three groups can have read access, write access, or execute access, or WX. So that explains 9 of the 10 columns, but it doesn't explain the first one, or the hypothetical, sometimes existing, 11th one. So let's start at the extreme left of the file permission, and the first character is not really a permission one. The first character defines what type of file it is. If it's a minus, it means it's a normal, regular file. If it's a D, it means the thing is a directory, or a folder, as we would call it nowadays. And if it's an L, it means it's a symbolic link, or basically a Unix-level alias. Now, there could well be other letters there if you're looking at particularly special files, but I'm not going to go into what those mean because they're very specialized things, and really you're not that likely to see them in your day-to-day life. Next we come to 9 characters always, and sometimes another character which we'll come to at the very end. So those 9 need to be looked at in groups of 3. The first 3 belong to the user, the second 3 belong to the group, and the third 3 belong to world. And each of those blocks of 3 is or, w, x. Read, write, execute. If one of those permissions exists, the letter will be present. If not, it will be a dash. So if you have a file which is D or WX or dash X or dash X, that means it's a directory of which the owner has read, write, and execute access, of which the group has read, no write, execute, and of which the world has read, no write, execute. On a normal file, you can imagine what it means to be allowed to execute a file. You can run it. Whereas on a directory, that seems a bit more strange. Well, on a directory, what it means is you can list the content of the directory. There are sometimes you can set a directory so that someone can see it, can enter it, and can, you know, access files within it, but can't do an ls to see what all is there. And that would be a directory which doesn't have the X permission set for the user or the group or whoever way the permissions are being applied. Okay, so how are these permissions applied in the real world? The moment you try to access a file on a Unix system, or OS X or Linux, the operating system checks to see who you are, it checks to see what user you are and all the groups you belong to. Then it looks at the file and it says, if you are the same user that that file belongs to, then we apply the first three blocks of permission and we give you RWX as appropriate. If we fail that test, the OS next looks to see the group that that file belongs to. Are you a member of that group? If the answer is yes, then it's those permissions that get applied, so RWX as appropriate. If the answer to that is again no, then the last set of permissions get applied to you. So that's how it works. User first, group next, world last. Finally, before I finish up, I want to mention the last column which I briefly talked about. This column can have two possible values, a plus or an at sign. The plus means it has extended security attributes, which I'm not going to get into now because it will just get very confusing. The reality is you're never really going to see that in your day-to-day life, except on system files, and you really shouldn't be messing with those anyway. The other symbol which you are very likely to see is the at symbol, and what this means is that the file has extended attributes. If you go into the Finder and you assign a color to a file, it will get the at symbol. If you get the properties of a file in the Finder and you add, say, some spotlight comments, that will give it the at symbol. If you set a special icon for the file, that will give it the at symbol. If the file contains more information than just the basic Unix information, it will get the at symbol to show it has extended attributes. Okay, that's where we're going to leave it for this week. I apologize that this has gone on a little longer than I would like it to have, but unfortunately there is no real short way of dealing with Linux file permissions or Unix file permissions. Next week we're going to continue our look at the file permissions and we're going to talk about how you can actually modify them. Now we know what they are, the next logical step is to have control over them. Until next time, happy computing.